This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Welcome to Nokomis High School. Sorry we didn't get to bring you the live coverage of the top of the first, but I know you people who are listening to Hillsborough and Gillespie, you wanted to get that one all the way to the end, an outstanding extra inning victory for the Hillsborough Hilltoppers. Now we'll take you to some baseball action as we move to the bottom of the first. The Nokomis Redskins had two strikeouts to start things off in the top of the first. Ryan Jansen with a two-out triple was left stranded there when Carter Sobel grounded out to third. And so it's one hit and no runs for the Redskins, who will now send the big guy, Carter Sobel, to the mound as he will face a Cumberland Pirate team that is 23-3 on the season. Their starting lineup looks like this. Batting in the number one slot, Michael Flyer, the center fielder. Batting second, number 11, Reed Matheny, the first baseman. Brennan Cutts, the pitcher, bats third. Batting cleanup will be Brayson Shue. Batting fifth will be the catcher, Justin Brown. Batting sixth will be the second baseman, Ross Hemmen. Batting seventh will be Alex Talley, the third baseman. Batting eighth will be Dayton Mitchell, the designated hitter. Batting ninth will be Caleb French, the left fielder. So it will be Flyer, Matheny, and Cutts, Shue, Brown, and Hemmen, Talley, Mitchell, and French for the Cumberland Pirates down around the Interstate 70, just east of Effingham. The school district actually is split by Interstate 70, as they have Cumberland has Toledo on the north side. I believe Greenup is on the south side of that community, which has an enrollment just slightly larger than the Nokomis Redskins. I believe they're around 280. Nokomis somewhere around 180. But nonetheless, they're both playing for a regional championship game today. And Gabe, outstanding weather.
Yes, outstanding weather. A little windy, however, but nice late summer day. Almost feels like summer.
I'm going to tell you right now, if it wasn't windy, we'd be complaining about the heat.
Yes.
Because the breeze will tolerate it.
In today's game, Nokomis, the away team, although they're on their home field. So Cumberland had to travel about 70 miles to be the home team.
Cumberland, the number two seed in this regional, and Nokomis, the number three seed. Michael Flyer stands in to get the first pitch from Carter Sobel. Swing and a miss, strike one. You were mentioning, Gabe, about this Nokomis lineup, void of seniors.
Not one senior on this lineup, quite a few number of juniors, however, so this program should have a good opportunity next year as well.
He's going to ask if he swung on that. It was a high one, and he was able to hold up. As you said, no seniors, seven juniors and a couple of sophomores on this starting lineup. Sobel, of course, a big junior there. Out on the mound, a 1-1 pitch comes in a little bit low, and the count goes to 2-1 on Michael Flyer. Reed Matheny, the first baseman, on deck. Kind of an interesting color combination for the Cumberland High School Pirates. Inside corner, and the count goes 3-1 as they have Columbia blue and black and gold and white. I guess they just couldn't decide, so they just took a mixture of everything. But outstanding combination here is they're wearing their black jerseys. The pitch is fouled off, and the count goes full. They're wearing their black jerseys with the Columbia blue numerals and gold trim, gray pants. The Redskins, they're in their red over white uniforms. As Sobel, with a 3-2 count, brings the payoff pitch. Strike three. Brought that one in over the inside corner. Outstanding location by Mr. Sobel. One up, one down.
Michael Flyer thought he had the walk on that one as he took a few steps toward first, but strike three called.
If it's that close and you've got a stick, you better use that stick, young man. That's my feeling. First pitch to the number two hitter, Reed Matheny. He barrels a fastball right down the middle for a called strike. Cumberland 23-3 on the season. This one a little high and outside, evens up the count at 1-1. Brennan Cutts, the pitcher, waiting on deck. Sobel looks in, gets the sign, he'll rock, he'll fire. Swing right back here. Did you notice I didn't flinch? Give me a second. My reflexes are a little bit slow.
Didn't bring my glove today.
That one came right back in our kitchen, as they would say. 1-2 count, Sobel. See if he can pick out the second strikeout. Ooh, went with that big bender, but it stayed outside. And the count goes 2-2. I like that idea, though.
Try to sneak one in on the outside part of the plate.
2-2 pitch. Will he come back and bury one here? Yep, and it goes up the middle. Shortstop comes over. Evan Herbstreit with a nice grab and a nice throw. 6-3, out number two. It's always nice when you've got outstanding infielders behind you. And, of course, Herbstreit, one of the best there at shortstop.
That one was working up the middle, just over the left side of the mound, but he worked his way over there. And nice scoop and pick and throw across the diamond for that out.
He's agile as a cat there at shortstop position. That'll bring up Brennan Cutts, the pitcher. He'll look at a breaking ball that comes in over the inside corner for a called strike one. It's Flyer, Matheny, and Cutts, the top three in the Cumberland Pirate lineup. Two up, two down. This one comes in a little bit low. It'll get past Ryan Jensen. No harm, no foul. He'll retrieve that ball and get a new one out to Carter Sobel. Sobel, a big man on the mound, wouldn't you say?
Very big. I believe he's about 6'6", 6'7".
Gets the leverage. This time the ball goes just beyond the second baseman, and that was a situation. Second baseman couldn't quite get to it, but the center fielder was running not only to get the ball, but the ball with the wind moving against him allows the batter to reach first safely on a single.
And that was Ben Clavin out there at second, and he made a nice effort to dive for that ball, but it landed right between him and his center fielder, Alex DeSetti.
So each team with a base runner here in the first inning. Nokomis with a two-out triple stranded theirs at third. Now with two outs, Cumberland has Brennan Cutts down at first base, and that'll bring up Brayson Hsu, the right fielder. Hsu with number 12 on the back of that black jersey. Swings the throw over to first. The runner gets back safely.
You're saying Nokomis has red over white with that Redskins across the jersey and that Braves tomahawk.
There you go. Plus, I like the fact they wear the stirrup socks. That's old school.
Got a classic look.
Swing and a foul back.
A lot of the Nokomis players out there with their stirrups.
So count go to 1-1, I believe. One ball, one strike, one on, two out. Sobel off the stretch. Brings, oh, beautiful breaking ball. That thing just dropped right out of the sky. And Hsu was swinging it there. So now Sobel has him set up to be his second strikeout victim. Instead, he'll fire over to first. No, he's back safely. Come back up. The big right-hander will tow that rubber. He'll come to a stretch. Now to the plate. Swing. No, he held up, and it was a call. Strike three. A nice breaking ball there for the third out of the inning. So it's no runs, one hit, no errors. Nobody or one person left on base. We've played one, and we're scoreless, and you're listening to WSMI. Back to the mound goes Brennan Cutts as the Cumberland Pirates got a base runner in the first, left him stranded at first. We move to the top of the second. Nokomis, the visiting team on scoreboard, will send up their 5, 6, and 7 hitters. It'll be Nick Masher, Alex Tosetti, and Mark Grigoroff. Anybody gets on, the number 8 hitter is Ben Clavin, and batting number 9 is Adam Lyons. So the lineup goes Herbstreit, Massett, Jansen, Sobel, Masher, Tosetti, Grigoroff, Clavin, and Lyons. First pitch, a ball to Nick Masher. Second one he holds up on ball 2 just outside. So Masher, the junior right fielder, showing a good eye here at the plate. This one on the outside corner, I believe he was taken till he saw a strike anyway.
Not Nick, a bad idea.
Nick Masher with a 2-1 count. Let's see if he can find one he can drive now. This one is fouled off the right side. It goes up against the screen, and the count evens at 2-2. If you park one into right field, chances are it's going to head over that right field fence at 3-10 right in the corner because the wind is going to blow it from left to right.
Don't have an exact number on the wind, but it's blowing pretty heavy out of left side.
Tim Mize said the breeze was about 20 mile an hour in Gillespie, and I believe that wind has gotten up here, so we're going to call it about 18 to 20 mile an hour.
I'd say so.
Those farmers, they know the speed of the wind. Three balls, two strikes on the leadoff hitter, Nick Masher. This one comes in low, and he'll draw a leadoff walk. Gabe, you know what they say about leadoff walks.
They'll come back to haunt you.
They'll come back to haunt you. That's what the Nokomis Redskins are hoping will happen here in the top of the second, as they've got the leadoff man on with a free pass. And that'll bring up Alex Tosetti. Tosetti, the center fielder for the Redskins. Going to have to ask him to quit kicking up so much dust. It's going to come back this way. Field in excellent condition. Ball high comes in to Tosetti. It's hard to believe with the type of spring that we've had, wind, rain, cold, everything else, that these fields just look perfect here come tournament time. Swing and a miss. Tosetti evens the count. It's 1-1 to the junior center fielder. Big 2-4 in white on that red jersey with the black trim. Gets his sign from the third base coach, steps back in. Looks at a high one. Uh-oh, runner caught off first, and he is out. So the pickoff play removes the runner from first base as that went 2-3, and Masher is picked off first. And the ball goes, makes the count go to 2-1 on Tosetti. The umpire saying no, he did not swing on it, as the home plate umpire asked for help. So the count goes to 2-1 on Tosetti. Now with one out and nobody on, he'll swing and foul this one straight back and even the count up at 2-2. Hit and run maybe on that last play?
I think that was trying to get a hit and run, as Masher was way off first base, but Tosetti tried to offer a bunt at it, but it was up around his eyes and was able to pull his bunt back.
Yeah, it was too high to get up there and get after it. Instead of taking the foul ball, we get the runner picked off first base.
Asher was about a quarter of the way to second base.
Yeah, if he's going, you've got to get a bat on the ball somehow. Ball low, and the count goes full, and perhaps the Redskins can replace that runner at first base. Alex Tosetti with a 3-2 count. Got to be careful here if it's close. That one stayed inside, and two up, two walk here in the second inning, as Tosetti gets a second walk in a row. He'll go down to first base for Mark Grigoroff, the junior first baseman.
That's two strikeouts and two walks for Brennan Cutts, the Cumberland Pirate pitcher today.
And now the coach, Mark Jackley, going to come out and have a talk with his pitcher. I think he's a little upset that he's not finding the strike zone. And I'll say this for him, he was close on most of them. There was a couple of high pitches there, but as you said, the botched up hit and run played to in the favor of the Pirates as they pick up the first out of the inning. Tosetti, however, picks up the second walk of the inning. He's down at first for Mark Grigoroff.
I think he might have been better served, Nick Masher, there to try to steal second, but no, he came back to first and got picked off there for the first out.
He got caught in no man's land. When you sit back here, it's easy to second guess and say you should have done this or should have done that. Grigoroff looks at a called strike on the outside corner as Cutts let him off with a breaking ball. From the stretch to the plate. Fouled off the right side, and it'll go out of play into the bean field that hasn't been planted.
Hopefully this wind and this heat will get some of those farmers' fields dried out.
0-2 pitch to Grigoroff. Runner on first. See, fouls off a high one.
Fortunately, however, it looks like there'll be storms this afternoon.
It's one of those years you've got to be debating, do we want to plant rice?
Yes.
All right, the 0-2 pitch, Grigoroff did a good job of protecting the plate. If it's close, you got to get the bat on the ball. And he cannot do that as he swings through it for strikeout number 3 for Brennan Cutts. That's out number 2, and so with one on and two out, that'll bring up the number 8 hitter, Ben Clavin, the sophomore second baseman. Throw to first, and runner's back. Kind of a conservative lead over there with two outs.
still early in this game, and like you said, a hit down the right field line could score a man from first.
It's pitch on the right, on the outside corner is fouled back. He had the pitch to take to right field, and he just got around a little bit quicker. So Clavin in the hole, 0-1, as we play here in the top of the second. We're scoreless. Nokomis and Cumberland. Swing and a miss. Cut's a little bit deceptive there. It's not that hard of a fastball, but it's hard to get the timing, it seems like, for the Redskins here this afternoon. The 0-2 delivery to the plate. Fouled back and out of play. Send another one in from the dugout.
Any pitch slapped off to the right's going to go out in that muddy field. So hope they have a bunch of baseballs today.
Either that or a dryer.
Yes.
Here comes the 0-2 pitch once again from the stretch and to the plate. Dropped low, back to the backstop. The catcher, Justin Brown, hustles back, but all he can do is eat it and allow the base runner to head down to second base. So we'll go wild pitch on that one. And that sends Tocetti to second base. He's in scoring position. And the count goes to 1-2 on Ben Clavin. So Clavin with an opportunity here. Looks like they're playing him pretty much straight away all the way around. The gaps are in right center and left center. Probably a little bit more in right center. See if he can slice one over that second baseman's head and drive home a run. Nope. Instead, he looks at a call third strike on the outside corner. And so the Comus Redskins, for the second inning in a row, they get a base runner on base, but they leave him stranded there. No runs, no hits, no errors, one left. We'll move to the bottom of the second. We're scoreless on WSMI.
John's Health Mart Pharmacy in Hillsboro is locally owned and operated, and their pharmacists are your trusted health care resources. John's Health Mart Pharmacy honors many prescription plans, including Medicare, and their pharmacists have a personal commitment to their communities. Stop by or call 532-5060. Health Mart, caring for you and about you.
The First Community Bank of Hillsboro is locally owned and locally controlled. Their full line of commercial banking products includes fixed and adjustable rate mortgages, auto loans, checking accounts, ATM debit cards, no annual fee Visa credit cards, and more. Their staff is known to you and active in the community. Join First Community Bank, a bank for the community, on your corner, in your corner. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Today's broadcast brought to you in part by State Senator Andy Menar of the 48th District, paid for by friends of Andy Menar. By your Sears Hometown store in the Litchfield Shopping Plaza, where there is no credit required financing. And by Hicks Maytag in Gillespie, with the latest in Whirlpool, Maytag, Amana, and KitchenAid appliances.
WSMI FM 106.1.
To the bottom of the second we go. Tom Williams, our producer, back in the studio. I'm Gary Boker alongside Gabe Osborne as we're basking in the sunshine of the Comus High School. It's a beautiful day today. And as you said, rain is probably on its way.
On its way last time I looked at the radar on my phone, it was about Jacksonville, so hopefully this game can wrap up before we get wet.
Let's keep it to the north and keep it to the west and just keep it out of here. Sobel, first pitch, foul back, strike one to the number five hitter, Justin Brown, who leads things off here in the bottom of the second. Justin Brown, a catcher, to be followed by Ross Hammond. Next pitch comes in high, and that evens the count at 1-1. It'll be Brown, Hammond, Tally. If anybody gets on, Mitchell and French, the lower part of the batting order for the Pirates of Toledo Cumberland. Swing and a miss, strike two. As Sobel took a little something off of that and had the batter, Justin Brown, way out in front. Now the 1-2 delivery. Laced a one hopper to second base. Ben Clavin with a good job there, staying with that one, and fires over to first baseman Mark Grigoroff. So it goes 4-3 for out number one.
And here at Nokomis, we're back on the air for how long, we do not know. What we do know is, after Justin Brown grounded out to second to start off the top of the second, Ross Heeman was hit, or Hemming, excuse me, was hit by a pitch. He's still down there at first base as Alex Talley struck out. That is the third strikeout of the game for Carter Sobel. So with one on and two out, that brings up Dayton Mitchell, the designated hitter for the Cumberland Pirates. As we are playing here in the bottom of the second inning, we're scoreless between Nokomis and Cumberland. Swing and a miss as Sobel doing a good job of keeping that ball down. I believe it's a 1-2 count now on the batter, Dayton Mitchell. One ball, two strikes, one on, two out. Runners going, called strike three, and Sobel and the Redskins get out of it. In the second, no runs, no hits, no errors, one left on base. We've played two. We're scoreless. Nokomis and Cumberland, you're listening to WSMI. We move to the top of the third. We're scoreless here at Nokomis High School between the Pirates of Toledo Cumberland and the Nokomis Redskins. For the Redskins, Adam Lyons, the left fielder, will lead off here in the top of the third. As the Redskins have one hit, a two-out triple back in the first, looking to see if they can get something going here in the top of the third inning. Lyons, as we said, the left fielder, the junior, stands in, swings and misses, and the count goes even at 1-1. Wynn continuing to come in from center field, from the south, pitch outside, and it's ball two. 2-1 on Adam Lyons, the number 9 hitter, in the on-deck circle is Evan Herbstreit as Lyons swings and misses strike two. Two balls, two strikes. As Brennan Cutts brings it, swing and a miss, strikeout number 5 for Cutts. That's our first out here in the top of the third. And it'll take us back to the top of the order. And Evan Herbstreit, who was a strikeout victim his first time up in the first. Herbstreit's had a look at this hurler. He can solve him here second time around. Yes, he does. He packed on that one, but it was foul down the left side. Had him timed a little bit better, liked what he saw, but just couldn't wait quite long enough.
A swing and a miss by Evan Herbstreit, and he is out number 2, strikeout victim number 6. So facing 10 batters, Brennan Cutts has struck out 6 of them with nobody on and 2 out. That'll bring up Drew Massett, the junior third baseman. Fouls one back and then looks at a ball outside, and the count evens at 1-1. Nobody on, 2 out as we play here in the top of the third. Cutts, winds and fires a little outside. Good eye there by Massett. That's one of those that it looks good coming in, but it's going to tail off, and he was patient enough to watch it leave the strike zone. Here comes the next one. This one goes right back up the middle as he timed that one, waited, kept those hands back, and just pushed that one right back from whence it came. So Drew Massett with the second hit of the game for the Redskins. It's a two-out single, and it'll bring up Ryan Jansen. And you know about Mr. Jansen, right, Gabe?
Yes, sir. He's been up to the plate and had that triple back in the first inning.
Hit that with two outs. Can he do it again and see if he can chase home perhaps the first run of the game? That's only the second hit of the afternoon for the Redskins as Jansen stands in. Runner, short lead off first to the plate. Catcher with a good job there of trapping that ball, blocking it, keeping it in front of him. And thus the runner at first could not advance to second. So Massett stays there at first base with two outs, a 1-0 count on Ryan Jansen. Jansen waiting. Little bit high as he took that one. That was one of those borderline pitches. 50-50 call. You really can't complain whichever way that one goes. But Nokomis gets the call on this one, and the count goes 2-0. The junior catcher waits for the delivery. Here it comes. On the outside corner, it's a called strike. Two balls, one strike, runner on first, two out, top of the third. The Nokomis Redskins come into today's game with a 17-4 record on the season. Pitches outside corner again, and the count goes even at 2-2. The Nokomis in their semifinal game defeated Brownstown 4-1 to get into this championship game. Jansen seeing if he can't drive a run home here with two outs in the top of the third. Two-strike pitch. He swings and drills it to the right side. Second baseman comes up, over and out. So it goes 4-3 for out number three. The Redskins get a run, get a hit, their second of the game, but they strand their second run of the game. As we move to the bottom of the third, we're scoreless, Nokomis and Cumberland, and you're listening to WSMI. Welcome back to Nokomis High School. We move to the bottom of the third, we're scoreless, Nokomis and Cumberland. As we said, Nokomis came into today's game with a 17-4 record. The Cumberland Pirates of Toledo, 23-3 on the season. They had a 9-3 victory over Ramsey in their preliminary game to get to the regional championship. And, of course, the winner of this game gets the winner of the Louisville North Clay Regional. That will either be Louisville North Clay or Odin. Odin defeated Cisna yesterday. That game will be at the Dietrich Sectional next Wednesday on the 22nd at 6:30. First things first, however, we're looking for a regional championship for the Nokomis Redskins. We play in the bottom of the third, and it'll be the bottom of the order. Number nine hitter, Caleb French, leading off. He's the left fielder, and he'll be back to the top with Michael Flyer, Reed Matheny, and if anybody gets on, Brennan Cutts, who has the only hit so far for Toledo. First pitch swung on and fouled back. As Caleb French, the number 9 hitter, black jersey, Columbia blue, number 18 on his back with gold trim. He fouls the first one back. He'll stand in. As that bat high off of his shoulder, swing and a miss as he couldn't catch up with a high, hard one. And the count goes to 0-2. 4 strikeouts out of the first 8 that he's faced for Carter Sobel. This one comes in high for a 1-2 count. Guess he just wanted to see if he'd go up the ladder that time.
Just trying to make his eyes wide and see if he'd go after that.
Now one right down the middle, and you talk about eyes wide. Carter Sobel's eyes were wide open as that line drive come right back to his left shoulder. Luckily, on his left hand, he had a baseball glove, and he snagged that one. Outstanding play by the pitcher.
Only thing that got knocked off his head was his hat, and man, that was right back at him.
He said, thank you very much.
So he'll get his bearings out there on the mound.
He'll get his heart to start beating again. That's a heart stopper for sure. Outstanding play by the pitcher. And they say field your position, but that's one of those where he was simply defending himself.
And he's a right-hand pitcher, so he lands towards the first base side, and that's exactly where it was hit.
So he said, I think I'll go with a breaking ball for Flyer, and he breaks one off, and it comes in for a called strike one. Michael Flyer looked at strike three his first time up in the first. Now he'll look at a ball that's a little bit low, and the count will go to 1-1. Reed Matheny, first baseman, on deck. Nobody on, one out here in the bottom of the third. We're scoreless. Breaking ball didn't quite bend enough as it came in a little late. High and tight for ball two. Two balls, one strike, nobody on, two out. Bottom of the third. Strike called. That time he got it down and caught that outside corner, and the count goes 2-2. Two balls, two strikes. Carter Sobel, the big right-hander, brings it. It's a little outside to make the count go full. Pitcher's been getting that outside corner call quite a bit today, but he didn't get that one. See if he'll put another one there. And instead, he'll come back with a hard one right down the middle, just above the knees. Strikeout, out number two. Strikeout number five for Sobel. So he's faced 10 batters. He struck 5 of them out. He struck the leadoff man out twice, once looking, this time swinging. That'll bring up Reed Matheny, the first baseman who grounded to the shortstop his first time up. Matheny from the left side going to ground another one to the shortstop. He'll scoop it up, fire across. And just like that, it's a 1-2-3 inning for the Redskins defense. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left. We'll move to the fourth. After three, we're scoreless. Pirates, Redskins on WSMI. Well, Gabe, The Redskins have had base runners. They just haven't gotten anybody in, but they've had runners on each inning, right?
Back in the first inning, Ryan Jansen, he had that two-out triple to get some things going. And then back here in the third, Drew Massett was on first base. And in the second, Alex DeSetti, he also was on base as he got up to second base with a wild pitch, but just haven't had that loud hit to get the guys around.
Time to put a few of them together, as they say. You can't have a hit every other inning and expect to score too many runs. And, of course, they had two walks there in that second inning, but runner getting picked off, that didn't help either. But we move now to the top of the fourth. Carter Sabo will lead things off. He grounded to third his first time up, and he laces a foul ball down the left side here to start things off. Now a pitch on the outside corner misses, and the count goes 2-1 on Carter Sabo, the big junior. Big swing and a big miss by the big guy. Tell you what, he's got a huge strike zone, doesn't he?
He does have a huge strike zone, so he better be swinging.
He was, but he was swinging and missing, and he becomes strikeout victim number 7 for Brennan Cutts. 7 Ks on the day for Cutts. That'll bring up the number 5 hitter, Nick Masher, who walked back in the second.
And 7 Ks and all those men on base, he's still been pretty economical on the mound.
Masher batting from the left side, fouls the first one back. It's 0-1. Now, he would like to make amends for getting picked off last time. And I don't think you could probably really say he got picked off as much as it was a failed hit and run, but in any event, he'd like to make amends right here. Swings and misses. Strike 2. Now he'll have to protect. Oh, he'll have to protect himself as that one came inside.
Got him up right about the shoulder.
Ooh. Takes that batting glove off. Jogs down to first. He's going to take a minute there. I think it may have gotten the either the shoulder, the upper arm, right around the elbow. He's taking a moment to collect his thoughts, as they would say. And well, he should. Just there was no way of turning away and getting out of that one. He did what he had to do. You turn in so that you don't get hit in the front.
There really wasn't. I think he was expecting a pitch to kind of be on the outside, and he was leaning a bit, and that caught him right up around the shoulder, elbow area.
So Masher has been on base twice, once on the walk, once on the hit batsman, and I guarantee you he'll say he preferred the walk. He's there with one out for Alex Tosetti. I bet he doesn't wander too far off first this time. Tosetti fouls this one back, and it's 0-1. Masher still flexing that elbow down there. Make sure he gets that blood circulating. Get the pain to go away. The 0-1 pitch? Nope, it's going to be a timeout called and granted to Alex Tosetti.
Starting to cloud up just a bit here at Nokomis.
Shh, quit saying that. You know, of course, that one stays inside for ball 2. Excuse me, ball 1, that's a 1-1 count. But, of course, this is not the final game of the day. Following our game, we've got another one coming up next.
We'll have Carlinville at Shelbyville, and that'll be from the Painter Regional. That one will be on at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
A little roller down the third base line, just inside the bag. Third baseman tried to backhand it, could not do so. It'll be an infield hit for Alex Tosetti. That's one of those that it barely went 90 feet, but it looks as good as a line drive in the scorebook, as it is a one-out single for Tosetti. Moves Masher over to second base, and don't look now, but the Redskins in perhaps their best scoring position of the day, as they have runners on first and second with only one out. That'll bring Mark Grigoroff, the first baseman, to the plate. He struck out his first time. He'd like to see if he could at least move these runners along. If not, move one in. He fouls that one straight back. As they said, would say the timing was on as that one went straight back. Grigoroff, as we said, struck out on 3 pitches in the second inning. With the runner down at second base. Now he has runners on first and second. Ducks on the pond. He'll swing and foul this one off the right side. The wind's going to blow that one out of play. No balls, two strikes, two on, one out, top of the fourth. Nokomis threatening in this scoreless battle for the Nokomis Regional Championship. The winner, as we said, will move on to the Diedrich Sectional next Wednesday at 6:30 to play either Louisville North Clay or Odin. Swing and a miss. Tried to go down and get that one, but could not make connections. And Grigorov is a strikeout victim for the second time today. So with two outs, that's going to leave it all up to Ben Clavin, sophomore second baseman. 8 Ks on the day for Mr. Cutts. Clavin can send this one right back to the pitcher. The comebacker is fielded, thrown over to first. 1-3 is the putout for out number 3, so despite the fact that they had a hit batsman and a single, one hit, no runs, two left on base, we're still scoreless going to the bottom of the fourth. You're listening to WSMI. Well, Gabe, we're in the middle of our high school tripleheader, but there's also some professional ball going on today, right?
Cardinals will be playing today on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. That pregame show start about 2:10 this afternoon as they'll be in Texas. Cards on a bit of a skid lately, but they'll try to make amends down in Texas after Michaelis gave up 7 runs last night in the second inning, and they lost 7-3.
It's a long season. Sometimes you get the hitting, not the pitching. Sometimes the pitching, not the hitting. And sometimes you just don't get either one. But when everything comes together, they're a good ball club. Mark my word. Here comes the first delivery of the bottom of the fourth, and it's a called strike. Of course, this is the second game of our triple header today. What have we had so far?
So far, we've had Hillsboro at Gillespie in that softball today. They won in about 8 innings over there at Gillespie, I think 2-1.
Toppers?
Toppers won 2-1, so they won their regional, and they'll be moving on to the winner of the Riverton winner, and that's between Tri-City and Pleasant Plains, and that'll be at Riverton Wednesday at 4:30.
Good play there by the infield of the Redskins, as Grigorov had to come off the bag to retrieve the ball, and then Carter Sobel, good job of covering first base. So it goes 3-1 for the putout, and of course this is game 2 of our triple header. What do we got coming next?
Coming up next, we've got Carlinville at Shelbyville in the regional championship for Pena. Carlinville won the other day on Wednesday, I believe it was. They beat Pena 4-0 in a 3-pitcher perfect game.
Don't see those too often, but you knew that what the Carlinville coaching staff was looking at was making sure they had pitches available for today. And so they were economical with the way they used the pitchers. It all came out well. They're playing at Pena as we speak, and we'll have that broadcast coming to you as soon as we're finished here. A ball high and outside to Brayson Shue. And with one out, he has a 1-1 count here in the bottom of the fourth, and the wind continues to pick up. Oh, painting the inside corner was Carter Sobel with a 2-strike pitch. One ball, 2 strikes.
And that winner, that Carlinville-Shelbyville game, will go to play Marola Forsyth or Pleasant Plains.
Little roller down third, quick play. Oh, outstanding throw as Drew Massett came in. Thick turf here on the grass, and it was a slow roller. And I mean, he had to hustle, right at himself, and he fired a bullet across the diamond. It goes 5-3, Massett to Grigorov for out number 2.
Very excellent play there. Is that wind could have even had a impact on that ball too.
I'll tell you what, the way he threw it, I don't think the wind could affect it. It was a bullet going across that infield, wasn't it? Good job, Mr. Massett. And so that makes it 2 outs and brings up Justin Brown. He'll try the bunt. Going to be a difficult play, and that time it's a little bit too late as Sobel reached down. And, hey, when you're 6'5", 6'6", and you've got to reach down to pick up that ball, sometimes it's just not there. Third baseman was in to try to help him out, but the fleet-footed Justin Brown, yes, a fleet-footed catcher, is on base with an infield single.
That ball never really even got touched. It got through Sobel's fingers. Massett tried to make a good play there by whipping it over to first, but he was safe by a couple steps.
That is the second hit of the day. And now into the hole it goes to left field, and it's going to be runners on first and second as Hammond, who was hit by a pitch his first time up, didn't hesitate as he stroked that one into left. And now it is the Pirates who have something going here with two on and two out, and that'll bring up Alex Talley, the third baseman. So Hammond, the second baseman, has been on base twice now as he was on being hit by a pitch his first time. Now he picks up the second consecutive and third overall hit for the Pirates on the day. They have runners on first and second as ball one comes in to Alex Talley.
Good job by Jansen to keep that in front of him. It bounced in the dirt, but keeps those runners put at first and second.
Sobel going to take a look back at second. Now bring it to the plate. Swinging underneath that one was Alex Talley, and the evens account at one and one. One ball, one strike, two on, two out, bottom of the fourth, we're scoreless. Shortstop Evan Herbstreit gets the runner back closer to second, then retreats as the ball comes in high. And it's two and one. Dayton Mitchell, the designated hitter, waiting on deck. Would like to see him lead off the fifth, if you don't mind. Swing and a miss. Strike two. So now Carter Sobel and the Nokomis Redskins are one strike away from getting out of this fourth inning jam. After the first two were retired, an infield single and a single to left. And that fills the count at 3-2 as once again Jansen showing some agility behind the plate. He got down there and spread eagled with the knees and made sure it didn't get through the five hole. He smothered that one.
That one rolled forward, but was able to keep his runners where they belong.
A walk will load the bases, as that is the first free pass given up by Sobel today. It'll send Talley down the first. That'll move Hammond over to second. And Justin Brown is now perched down at third base. Dayton Mitchell with an opportunity here to get something going for the Pirates. We're going to have a little conference on the mound as the Redskins want to make sure they're all on the same page. As they meet on the mound, the base runners all go over to meet with the third base coach to make sure they're all set on how they want to play this. Dayton Mitchell, the designated hitter. Shall I just say this? I would be very surprised if he bunts.
I would be too. He's stocky fella.
Not what you call the most fleet of foot. He looked at strike three his first time. He just wants to hit this one hard and see if he can drive in a run or two. And for some reason, third base coach calls timeout and asks him to make sure the signals are clear. You didn't really think I said bunt, did you? Is his comment.
This looks like the guy that Cumberland wants to be up to bat, though, in this situation.
Well, I'll tell you what, a designated hitter is usually somebody who can hit. Maybe his fielding is not that great, but he can hit. And in the number eight slot is Dayton Mitchell. Looked at strike three, takes a ball low. This is one thing Carter Sobel and the Redskins do not want to do, is to get behind on the count. One ball, no strikes. Runners lead off from all three bases. Pitch is high, and it's 2-0. Wouldn't be at all surprised to see Mitchell taking a pitch here. But at 2-0, if he gets the one he wants, I'll bet he's got the green light. Here comes the 2-0 delivery from Sobel. Down the middle for a call strike, and the count goes to 2-1. Carter has not had but about three or four full counts on the day. Runner coming home, and he is out, as it was a gutsy call there by the third base coach as he decided to send Justin Brown, and a good job there of covering the plate by Ryan Jansen as he took the pitch, made the tag, and with that, the inning is over. Two hits, no runs, two left on base. We have played through four. We're scoreless. Pirates and Redskins on WSMI. Well, in that last half inning, now we know what the coach was saying to the batter. Please don't swing because you could take the head off of my runner that I'm trying to get to steal home.
He could have there, and they had the triple steal going on there, and the designated hitter acted like he was going to bunt, but he never made contact. And good job there by Ryan Jansen to get that ball and block the plate in a hurry to not allow that runner to score, and we're still scoreless.
As we move now to the top of the fifth inning, Nokomis will have the number 9, 1, and 2 hitters up. It'll be Adam Lyons standing in. He was a strikeout victim his first time, and he looks at strike one here to start things off in the top of the fifth. Lyons, Herbstreit, and Massett to see if they can get something going here. A little comebacker to the pitcher. He fields it cleanly, fires across to first, and it goes 1-3. And that's two plays in a row fielded by the pitcher, two consecutive outs. As we move into the top of the fifth, with one out, we go back to the top of the order. Evan Herbstreit, a strikeout victim twice, as he'll stand in for the third time facing Brennan Cutts, who's had quite a day.
He has had quite a day. He's only given up two walks with eight strikeouts and one hit batsman, and only given up three hits on the day as well.
This one, a little roller to the third baseman. It comes across and throws wildly. First baseman can't come up with it. And so Herbstreit reaches safely on the air. It'll go E5. And the Redskins really don't care how it goes as long as it puts the base runner on base. Herbstreit down there with one out for Drew Massett. Massett, who looked at strike three in the first inning, then singled and was left stranded at the first in the third inning. Bats here with one on and one out, top of the fifth. We're scoreless. He wanted to see if he could untie that one quick. He fouls it straight back for strike one.
Nokomis has had quite a few opportunities today, but yet to gain an advantage.
Time to put a couple of hits together. See what they can do. Massett. Oh, good job there. That one was low and away, and a good job by the catcher, Justin Brown. Like that chest protector he's got. The stars and the stripes, the red, white, and the blue. My kind of guy. Was it Armed Forces Day today? I believe it was.
I think so. Yeah. Yes, the series in Texas between the Cardinals and Rangers, they're paying homage to the Armed Forces.
Give a shout out to my son, John Joseph, retired Lieutenant Colonel, retiring on a mountaintop in Tennessee. He had tours in Korea, Iraq, Afghanistan, Kuwait, and Afghanistan. And I'll never forget, nor will his mother, any of those deployments. Here comes the pitch. Ground ball to short. Takes a big hop short to second for the first out. On to first, he's safe. So the force out goes 6-4 on the put out to retire Herbstreit at second. On the fielder's choice, Massett will be at first. That'll bring up the number three hitter, Ryan Jansen. Jansen, who tripled with two outs in the first inning, was left stranded at third, then grounded out to second, his second time up in the third. Bats here with two men out, one on, top of the fifth. Time to get some runs, Gabe. Let's go.
So far, Jansen's been the only one to get really a good, solid contact on that ball and that triple back in the first inning.
Yeah, and that was one of those that was headed to center field, and by the time it ended up, it was over in right field with the way the wind blew it over the right fielder's head to the wall. And ball one.
And the wind continues to gust out of the left field.
Pitch a little outside. The throw gets away from the shortstop. And Massett is down safely with a stolen base at second base. Drew Bassett. Massett showing a little bit of speed there, would you say?
He seemed like his wheels were spinning there at first, and the throw beat him. But the shortstop had trouble trying to hold that ball. And
you ask him after the game, he'll tell you, I had it all the way, coach. I had it all the way. He's down at second now. As taking a strike is Ryan Jansen. One ball, two strikes. Runner at second. Jansen trying to chase him home with the first run of the game. He lines a single. No, the shortstop bobbles it, and there's no play. Good breaks there by Massett as he turned a corner, and he was told, shut her down, get on the bag right here, as the shortstop could not come up with that one cleanly. All right, I'll refer to you. Going to give him a hit or give him an error?
I think I'd give him a hit because that was really far in the hole, and he had to get over there, and he still got to it, but there was just no play because Jansen was hustling down the right line, and Massett was almost the third by the time he got that ball.
You'll get no argument from me. As you said, that was a play that even had he fielded it cleanly, it was going to be a very difficult play. He's on at first. Drew Massett is perched down there at third. The coaching staff of the Cumberland Pirates says we need a timeout as Mark Jackley goes out there to give a little encouragement to his hurler. To the plate, the pitcher, Carter Sobel, with a chance to help his own cause. He's grounded to third. He struck out, but he has a runner perched right down there at third base. A base hit would score a run for the Redskins and get them the lead here on the top of the fifth. We shall see. First pitch, inside, ball one.
Game pretty well in his hands right now.
Well, he's definitely been doing his job on the mound. Problem is, his counterpart has too. Pitch is fouled back. The wind catches it, and it goes way out of bounds. And the count is even at 1-1. Carter steps out and looks down to third base to see what the instructions are. And the instructions are hit it hard and hit it where they're not. Here comes the 1-1. Outside corner called strike two. Now to protect. One ball, two strikes, two on, two out. Top of the fifth. We're scoreless. Can we get aboard here? Swings and fouled it back. Now that pitch was low and away, and that's not an easy one for a 6'5", 6'6 guy to be able to go down and get, but he did a good job of spoiling it.
He did
and
do a
keeps
good
the
job.
Count at 1-2.
And that's hard to protect that big of a strike zone as well.
Indeed. You'd think they'd give him an extra bat. There's so much territory. Runner is picked off, and they're going to let him go. They're going to let him go to second. There was a heads-up play where Nokomis decided, hey, we'll chance it. And they'll give him the second base bag because they didn't want to make a throw and have a chance at a double steal scoring a run. Now with runners on second and third, Sobel with the opportunity to bring in not one but perhaps two runs as he fouls off yet another pitch.
And that was a very heads-up play by Jansen there at first. Pretty well stole that one off the pitcher. He's been pretty well tuned in to the at-bat, not so much on the runners.
Ooh, call, strike three. You can see that one starting to bend, and bending his knees was Carter Sobel as he watched that one go by for strikeout number nine for Cuts. We go to the bottom of the fifth. We're still scoreless. You're listening to WSMI. We move now to the bottom of the fifth inning, and the Redskins didn't take advantage of what was perhaps the best opportunity today, Gabe.
They did have their best opportunity. Two on with two out and Carter Sobel up to bat, and he just took a bender and pretty well fooled him, but can't really be watching pitches when you've got the tying and, well, the go-ahead and second run for the U out there on base.
On a couple of previous pitches, I thought he did an outstanding job of fouling them off and staying alive, but that last one, as you said, it just fooled him and it froze him there at the plate. So now he's got to go back on the mound and see if he can keep this scoreless as we move now to the bottom of the fifth. And for the Pirates of Toledo Cumberland, it'll be the 8-9-1 hitters coming up. Dayton Mitchell, who was at the plate when the attempted steal of home was thwarted to end the bottom of the fourth, he'll start things off here in the bottom of the fifth to be followed by Caleb French, the number 9 hitter, and Michael Flyer, the number 1 spot for Cumberland. Mitchell standing in with nobody on, nobody out, looking at ball one low.
So we come to about 2 o'clock here, so an hour into this game.
That was a rapidly played softball game this morning, wasn't it?
They played about 8 innings in an hour and a half.
had enough time to get an extra inning in and still get us on the air basically on time. So here we go with the 1-1 pitch. There's that breaking ball for a call, strike two. And Mitchell, who looked at strike three in the third inning, has a 1-2 count here in the bottom of the fifth. Swings and fouls this one back, and he stays alive. Mitchell batting in the number eight slot is the designated hitter for shortstop Memphis Wagner, who plays at short, as we said. He'll be followed in the lineup by Caleb French, the left fielder. Little bit high, and the count goes to 2-2.
That last pitch there, almost a caught foul tip, but the catcher couldn't hang on.
Couldn't quite get there. Two balls, two strikes. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Out number one recorded here in the bottom of the fifth, and that is strikeout number six, I believe.
Yes, six strikeouts today for Carter Sauble to one walk and one hit batsman.
Last inning was the first inning in which he didn't have at least one strikeout. That'll take us to the number nine hitter, Caleb French. He'll look at one a little outside. The left fielder for the Pirates of Cumberland, Toledo. This one foul back, and the count goes 1-1. Cumberland, Toledo is in the Little Okaw Valley, 278 enrollment. Toledo, Greenup, and Jewel are the towns that comprise Cumberland High School. Pitch is high, and the count goes to 2-1.
Pretty well a county high school over there for Cumberland County.
Yeah. What do they say? North of Newton, south of Charleston, and east of Effingham. Not too far from the Indiana border. But you got to go through Marshall to get there, I think. In any event, they made a long drive over here. Oh, strike three. As Sauble puts away the number nine hitter, he struck out two here in the fifth inning. He has seven Ks on the day. That'll bring us back to the top of the order, and Michael Flyer.
First place hitter, also wearing number one.
He's been a strikeout victim twice. The big bender comes in high and tight for ball one. Flyer looked at strike three to start things off in the first, then he was out swinging on strike three in the third. Now he fouls this one off the right side, and it goes out of play, and the count goes to 1-1.
Coming up here shortly on FM 106.9 and AM 1540 will be the pregame for the Cardinals at Texas and second game of their three-game series down there in Arlington.
This pitch breaks but stays a little bit high. 2-1 is the count on Michael Flyer, the center fielder for the Pirates. This one, too, a little high, and it's 3-1. Sometimes happens to a pitcher as he goes on in the innings. You get a little bit tired, and sometimes you don't follow through and get that good release point. We'll see what he does here. Yes, he gets the call on that one at the letters, and the count goes full, 3-2. Flyer was ready to fly to first, wasn't he?
He was ready, but got the called strike there. Full count.
Come back. See if we can now let him take a... Oh, he fouls it off. I was going to say let him take a slow walk over to the dugout. Instead, he fouls it off, and the on-deck hitter, Reed Matheny, brings a new supply of baseballs to our home plate umpire.
We've had quite a few hit fouls on the right side.
Yep. Carl Shreve behind the plate today. This one laced into center field. Center fielder Alex Tosetti had him played perfectly as he didn't hardly have to take a step. Just wait for it to come to him, grab it for out number three. So it's three up, three down here in the bottom of the fifth for Cumberland. We've played five. We're scoreless, and you're listening to High School Regional Baseball on WSMI. Tom Williams, our producer, back in the studio today. I'm Gary Boker alongside Gabe Osborne. We move to the top of the sixth. Batting from the left side, Nick Masher, the junior right fielder, looks at a called strike. This one a little inside. That'll even the count at 1-1.
So far today, Masher's been on base twice, once by a walk, once by a hit batsman up around his shoulder.
This one is laced down the left side. That's one of the few balls we've seen go out of play on the left side today. count goes 1-2.
I think Masher might be the only left-hand batter for Nokomis.
Yes. 1-2 pitch coming from Cutts. He cuts on it and fouls it back. Breaking ball. Masher was able to stay alive, fouled that one back to the screen. The on-deck hitter, Alex Tosetti, comes across and gets that ball and then realizes, hey, I need to get back over to the other side to my on-deck circle. Swing and a miss on a high, hard one. And Masher goes down swinging. Out number one, strikeout number 10 for Cutts today. Holy moly.
He's been quite masterful, the Redskin lineup, and they've had runners on base every inning so far, though, but still 10 strikeouts.
10 Ks on the day. And now a swing and a miss by Tosetti. Alex has been on base twice today as he walked in the second, was hit by a pitch in the fourth. Walked in the second and singled in the fourth. So he's 1-for-1. Swings and misses. Now he'll foul one back. Still got the big one left, they'll say. One ball, two strikes on the junior center fielder, Alex Tosetti. He'll stroke this one into center field. It'll hang up there as the center fielder would come over and make the catch. Michael Flyer with an easy grab on that one. What they call those? Can of corn. In the old days, two up, two down.
And the wind didn't have much of an effect there. The wind kind of died down for a split second, and it just barely knuckled towards right field, but that was probably by the way the ball was hit.
Yeah. And that will bring up Mark Gregoroff. Gregoroff will look at ball one. He's been a strikeout victim twice, in the second and in the fourth. Junior first baseman. See if he can get something started here with two outs. A little number down to third baseline. Pitcher comes over, makes a clean grab, fires on to first, and Gregoroff and the Redskins are retired here in the top of the sixth. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left. We move to the bottom of the sixth, still scoreless. Pirates and Redskins on WSMI. We move now to the bottom of the sixth inning. We are scoreless, goose eggs all across the scoreboard. As we move to the bottom of the sixth, Cumberland will have the 2, 3, and 4 hitters due up. Reed Matheny, Brennan Cutts, and Brayson Shue will be the first three to face Carter Sobel here in the sixth. And you really got to worry, this is their third time through the lineup. They've seen the pitcher. Can he still get the ball by them? First pitch is an easy grounder, smothered by the first baseman, picks it up, and steps on the bag. So it'll go 3-0, unassisted, as Mark Gregoroff makes the play for the first out here in the bottom of the sixth.
And that grass was really tough there on that ball as it bounced down, and he kind of just smothered the ball, but was close enough to the bag and took it nonchalantly there, but it still was a close play.
Cutts now stands in. The pitcher swings at a breaking ball upstairs and fouls it back. He has one of the three base hits by the Pirates, a two-out single back in the first inning. He grounded to the first baseman with the pitcher covering back in the fourth. Bats here with one out in the bottom of the sixth.
And right now on FM 106.9 and AM 1540 is the pregame for the Cardinals at Texas Rangers. That game will start about 3 o'clock down there in Arlington.
Another ground ball to the first baseman. This one goes off his arm, and still the second baseman comes over. Gregoroff had that one go up his sleeve, off his arm. Ben Clavin says, don't worry, buddy, I got you. And then, lo and behold, here was the pitcher, Carter Sobel, doing what he should do, that is cover first. So the play goes 3-4-1 for the putout and the second out of the inning. That's what you call teamwork.
And that was a very heads-up play for the second baseman to back that up as it kicked off the first baseman's heel of his glove but bounced right to the second baseman right behind him.
And also a heads-up play by the pitcher, because you would think a ball hit directly to your first baseman, you wouldn't have to be covering, but Carter was doing his job indeed. Now he throws the ball high and comes back with a called strike on the outside corner. And the count goes 1-1. Nobody on, two out, bottom of the sixth. We're scoreless here at Nokomis High School. Swing and a miss, strike two.
Seems as Sobel's getting further into this game. He's getting stronger. He's only given up three hits and a walk this far.
Here comes the next one. Swing and a miss. Catcher's going to have to fire to first. He does, and the side is retired as it's another 1-2-3 inning for Sobel and the Redskins. We will move to the seventh. We're scoreless. Pirates, Redskins on WSMI. On to the seventh inning we go. Gabe, we played six innings. We haven't proven a thing.
Still starting out where we were. We might as well be back at the first inning right now. Still no score as we move on to the seventh inning.
Ben Clavin, the number eight hitter, leads things off, and he'll take ball one low, as it'll be the 8, 9, and 1 hitters due up for the Redskins, and hopefully the number 2, 3, and 4 hitters to follow. Ball two is low. Clavin, who looked at strike three in the second inning, grounded out to the pitcher in the fourth, takes ball three.
Good opportunity here in this leadoff hitter with a 3-0 count.
Got to take here. Got to have a base runner, folks. Got to have a base runner.
So far, by my book, both sides only have three hits.
Strike call. Strike two as he's come back from a 3-0 count and painted two good strikes. Now the count's full. And we'll foul this one back. Good job there of protecting the plate.
Hitter in the on-deck circle is the junior, Adam Lyons. He's left fielder today.
That goes upstairs, and that's what we need, the leadoff walk for the Redskins. I was worried there. I thought I saw a different jersey a while ago. It is Lyons showing up. There was somebody else over there, I thought, standing in the on-deck circle. But in any event, it'll be Lyons who'll try to bunt this one over. So he'll take a called strike, pull back from that pitch. Let's get the signal straight here. As he'll step out, take a look. Okay, now if you're the pitcher, do you fire that high one again that worked once before?
I would. He may try to bunt again.
You got an 0-1 count. He's going to bunt. It's foul ball. Pitcher or the catcher goes ahead and fires down to first just the same. But it'll be an 0-2 count as Lyons failed to get that one into fair territory.
That one bounced right off the plate.
So he'll step back out and get the signals. Well, there's been enough wind today that it's taken enough moisture out of the soil that the dust is beginning to fly.
Yes.
Curses.
That last walk for Cuts is his third walk on the day.
Bunt laid down perfectly. Pitcher goes over and tags the runner. But the sacrifice done to perfection by Adam Lyons gets that potential lead-winning run down to second base. Brings us back. We're having a discussion between the umpire. Now they do say he was out. For some reason there was
a little bit of discrepancy to see if that pitcher didn't get it. And now we'll have a pinch runner out at third. That'll be Landon Engelman out there as a courtesy runner at second base, rather. Landon Engelman out there as a courtesy runner at second.
I thought I saw his number pop out of the dugout a while ago. So Engelman now will be the runner at second base, replacing Clavin. He'll be there with one out at second for Evan Herbstreit.
Engelman, a freshman.
Ow! Herbstreit, a free pass to first. Well, I call it a free pass. He won't, because he was hit by the pitch, and he could not get his ribs out of the way.
Two hit by pitches on the day so far for Cuts.
That one stung a little bit. I don't care. You can go ahead and rub it if you want, buddy. That's all right by me.
You could hear that one hit him.
And we have headphones on. Runners on first and second now for the Redskins with one out. And Drew Massett, he has one of the three hits, or four hits for the Redskins today. This time he'll line to first and be retired. I'm telling you what, he got all he wanted out of that one. He just hit it right at the first baseman.
It's a good hit, but the first baseman still had a good chance to get over there. That's Reed Matheny, as he just stood right in place and caught that one.
So Matheny, the left-hander, made the grab for the second out, and that's going to leave it up to Ryan Jansen. Jansen with a triple and a single. He's 2-for-3 on the day. The runners are still perched at first and second. Engelman is there at second base, and Herbstreit down at first base. We're having a conference on the mound. Remember, the winner of today's game will get the winner of the Louisville North Clay Regional. That game today between Louisville and Odin. And they will play the winner of that game on Wednesday the 22nd at 6:30 at Diederich Sectional. Diederich, of course, just east of Effingham, or as our visitors would say, just a little southwest of Cumberland. Would be a much shorter trip for them to get to the sectional than it was for them to get here today. However, we could allow them to stay home if perhaps Jansen could come up with a big hit right here. He swings and nubs it to the shortstop. It's nothing off his glove. It goes into short left field. Second baseman makes a grab. He's trying to make the throw. It's late. And there you have Engelman coming in with the first run of the game for the Redskins. We've talked at length about the knuckleballs today, but there was one that got away from the shortstop, then rolled just into the grass into short center field, just enough to allow the fleet-footed Engelman to score.
That was a perfect opportunity there for the coach to put Engelman there on second base. The fast freshman made it around for this first run of the ball game.
Now a pitch comes in high to Sobel. Going to give him a single on that?
I think so. I think there was, even if he would have played that cleanly, I think it still would have been close to any bag.
You're official. That's good enough with me. So therefore, we can give him an RBI as well and give the Nokomis Redskins a lead here in the top of the seventh. Sable could add to that as this pitch goes inside. It's going to even it up 1-1. One is good, but two or three would be even better for the Redskins here in the seventh inning. This pitch came inside a little bit low, and it goes to 2-1.
And as we've said today, Nokomis has had men on base in every inning except the sixth, where they went 1-2-3.
Sobel with an opportunity. Drives this one down the left field line. Nope, it goes foul before it gets to third. Thought it might squeak by there, but instead, he'll come back with a 2-2 count, Carter Sobel. The pitcher of record for the Redskins today, 6 Sterling innings. Hopefully, he can get 7. Hopefully, he can get a hit here, drive in some more runs. He grounded to third, struck out twice.
Give himself a bit of a cushion as well.
Oh, that one is a hard one to lay off of, and he did a good job.
Appeal to the first base umpire, still called it a ball.
Yeah.
No swing.
There was no doubt in my mind. Now, Carter, if he brings this one down, you take it out. Here we go. Sobel waits, cuts, checks on the runners. Off the outside corner, and it's a ball, and Sobel coaxes a walk to load the bases for Nick Masher. Masher, who walked in the second, was hit by a pitch in the fourth, struck out to lead things off in the sixth with a big opportunity here in the seventh. We have a courtesy runner for the pitcher.
That's number 6, Jake Johnson. That'll be Jake Johnson being courtesy runner over there at first base for Carter Sobel, the pitcher.
Jake Johnson. And, of course, the important part about that runner at first, not only giving the pitcher a little bit of a rest, but if there's one hit up the middle with that additional speed, hopefully he can avoid the force out here. With two outs, Nick Masher, the junior, from the left side. Swings at the first one, fouls it back, strike one.
Jake Johnson, also a freshman on this squad.
It's a youthful bunch of kids here. For Nokomis. What'd you say? No seniors?
No seniors, so they got a good opportunity to be pretty decent
next
year.
Oh, there you go, there you go. Into right field, a solid single. One run comes in, second run comes in, throws late, a sliding score as a good job there by Ryan Jansen to co-score all the way from second. And the Redskins have opened it up with not one, not two, but three runs here in the top of the seventh. A two RBI single for Nick Masher. Shall we say he mashed that one?
He mashed that one into right field, right over the second baseman's head, and that's the kind of cushion that Carter Sobel needs. 3-0 now for the Redskins.
That may have been the most solid hit of the day. It was definitely the most satisfying in many ways because it plated two runs. Two hits in the inning gives the Redskins, I have six hits on the day, but more importantly, three runs have scored. And that will bring in Alex Tassetti with runners on the corners. He'll take a strike. Alex, the junior center fielder, walked in the second, singled in the fourth, and flied out to center in the sixth. How about another line drive here? Ooh, look at that one. For a called strike. He's in the hole now, as he is the eighth batter in the inning for the Redskins. Redskins, who had but four hits on the day coming into this inning, have picked up a couple of big ones, a couple of walks, and a hit batsman have helped as well. This one is a pop-up. First baseman comes over fighting that wind and makes the catch for the third out. But in the top of the seventh inning, the Nokomis Redskins utilized two hits, a couple of walks, and a hit batsman to plate three runs. They strand a couple of runners, but as we go into the bottom of the seventh, it is now Nokomis 3, Cumberland nothing. You're listening to WSMI. Six innings of outstanding defensive ball, of outstanding pitching, but finally in the seventh, the Redskins broke through.
Redskins did break through with three there that last inning. Pitcher for the Cumberland Pirates, he was just masterful all day, having 10 strikeouts and four walks, but it all unraveled for him there in the seventh.
And now Carter Sobel to the mound to see if he can seal the deal here in the seventh inning. It is Justin Brown, the number five hitter, due up first. He had an infield single his first time, or his, for his only hit, as he grounded out to second his first time up. It'll be Brown, Hemman, and Talley, the 5, 6, and 7 hitters due up for Cumberland. Cumberland, a 23-3 team on the season. This one is way outside. One ball, two strikes to the leadoff man, Justin Brown, here in the bottom of the seventh.
So far today, Cumberland with only three hits.
Breaking ball, ground ball to the third baseman. He scoops, grabs, fires across the diamond. Drew Massett with a good pickup there. Cleanly fires it across the diamond to Mark Grigoroff, and that's one out here in the seventh inning. Redskins, two outs away from a regional championship and a date against the Louisville North Clay regional winner next Wednesday on the 22nd at 6:30 at the Diederich Sectional. Strike one drops in there. Sobel looks like he's got as good a breaking stuff now as he had at the beginning of the game. They say sometimes as a pitcher tires, the breaking ball will become even more effective. This one breaks a little outside, and it counts one and one.
Kind of more relaxed on the throw, and it drops even more.
This one is lofted to third base. Third baseman looking for it. I thought maybe he lost it there for a second, but he stayed with it and drew Massett. First of all, he had a ground ball for the out. Now he has a pop-up for the second out, and now the Redskins are one out away as Alex Talley the third baseman stands in. Tally, strikeout victim, and walked. He's 0 for 1. First pitch comes in high.
Sobel set down his last eight in a row. Last eight in a row have not reached base.
And if he can make it number nine, this one's a little high. Two balls and no strikes. On the number seven hitter, Alex Talley. This one down the middle. And the count goes to 2-1. Little ground ball past the pitcher. Shortstop charges. Fires across the diamond. He's out, and that's a winner. That's a Redskin winner as the Nokomis Redskins, behind the outstanding pitching of Carter Sobel, win this one 3-0. They take down the Cumberland Pirates and win the Nokomis 1A Regional Tournament. They'll move on to the sectionals. We'll move on to these commercials on WSMI. It is a happy bunch of Redskins as they gather around home plate. I've had the opportunity to see this happen more than once, but you know what, Gabe? It never gets old.
It never gets old. This is the first opportunity that I've had able to see a regional champion here, and Nokomis really worked hard today on this. Sobel especially, only giving up three hits for the whole day, eight strikeouts, one walk and hit batsman, and he set down his last nine. The last nine for Cumberland did not reach base, so that probably boosted.
So we're back here at Nokomis High School, and the Nokomis Redskins are victorious in their own regional as they defeat the Cumberland Pirates to the tune of 3-0 here this afternoon. Post-game celebrations taking place right now as we look at the score sheet. First of all, for the Cumberland Pirates, they finished their season at 23-4. They were limited tonight to just three hits, two of those coming in the fourth inning, as a single in the first inning by Brennan Cutts, an infield single by Justin Brown in the fourth, and Ross Hammond with a single in the fourth inning as well. From then on, it was shutting down the door by the pitcher Carter Sobel, as he brought the Nokomis Redskins home to victory with an outstanding job on the mound. As we look at the hitting for the Nokomis Redskins, they had multiple players with big games. Ryan Jansen, perhaps the biggest game of all, as he had
the fifth inning, but then the RBI single in the seventh inning as the Redskins were able to plate three in the seventh inning, as it was a two-out single by Jansen to plate one, and then two runs come in on the RBI single, double RBI single by Nick Masher. So after being held scoreless through six innings, they came up with three in the seventh. Maybe it was a little late, but it was good enough to get the game done and get the game won, and that's what it's all about. Win today, move on to the next round. That's what the Redskins are going to do.
Redskins will move on. That next game will be against, it'll be between Odin or Louisville, and they'll move on to the Dieterich sectional. That'll be this upcoming Wednesday night at 6:30.
So. And, of course, the Dietrich sectional down there just east of Effingham, between Effingham and Newton. So it'll be a bit of a drive for the Redskins, but I guarantee you they will not mind one bit making that trip and seeing if we can get hold of Coach Pisco here and maybe a couple of the Redskins to get a chat with them while we have the time, as this is an exciting time for Nokomis, something that I don't think you ever get used to, but you sure enjoy being able to continue the tradition, and that's what's going on today as the Redskins are victorious and they are moving on, and we're going to see if we can get Coach Pisco, and maybe we'll see if we can get Carter Sobel. Hold on a second. Carter. And see if we can get some conversations with some of these players. They, of course, had big days today, and as we said, none any bigger than Carter Sobel, who had an outstanding time at the mound today, as he was outstanding from the beginning to the very end, coming up with a masterful performance. as we'll talk things over. Let's see if first we can get Carter Sobel in here. He's the big man on campus today, as he has been for 3 years. First of all, Carter, congratulations. That was one outstanding performance today.
Thank you very much.
You looked like that you were comfortable out there from the get-go. Seemed like you had good command of all your pitches.
Yeah, at the beginning I felt really good, and then towards the end stuff kind of fell off. But then in the last couple innings, I was feeling pretty good again and start throw strikes.
It looked like to me that you were not only getting nice break on the ball, but you were getting some late break on the ball. You had some hitters fooled, and, of course, you may have gotten fooled once or twice up there yourself, but it's a lot nicer when you're on the mound doing that, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I work on my curveball a lot, and whenever it breaks like that, it's just good.
And, of course, another outstanding thing I thought you had today, you had a good catcher behind the plate all day, and you had some good fielders behind in the field.
Oh, yeah, we love Ryan. If you want to block a ball, he'll do it for you. He's been a wall all year.
And, of course, when they decided, a very gutsy call to try to steal home to get a run, you couldn't blame him because runs were hard to come by today. But you really knew that as soon as you got the ball to the catcher, he would take care of the rest.
Oh, yeah, I kind of sped up my wind-up because I knew he was going, and then Ryan made a great play.
And, of course, the one thing that you really don't want to happen there, you want to make sure that that batter doesn't swing. And I thought when they called timeout, and he called the batter down there, I thought he's going to make sure he doesn't swing. And that kind of cued you guys that, hey, there could be a steal coming on.
Mm-hmm. He bunted, so I thought he was going to be like a little suicide, but he didn't. And then Ryan tied him.
You realize, of course, with the batter's speed at the plate, he probably wasn't going to leg one out.
Yeah.
So with two outs, you didn't have to worry a whole lot about a sacrifice. But outstanding day on the mound, of course. We have you down for 8 strikeouts on the day. And I think, let's see, we got to go back to the 4th inning. There was a single there with 2 outs, and then we got the guy picked off the last, 9 guys in a row. You mowed him down. That's a good way to finish a ball game.
Thank you.
And, of course, when you're playing like that, and I know that you were getting tired, but it looked like to me as you tired late in the innings, sometimes that relaxation allowed your breaking the ball to break a little better.
Yeah, I think a little bit. When I get tired, I stride out more, so I keep the ball down.
And, of course, when you're batting, you have probably one of the worst disadvantages of all the hitters. There's nobody around that's got as big a strike zone, right?
Yeah.
But you did a good job of protecting it today.
Thank you.
Of course, coming up with a walk there, that was a big one to continue that inning in the 7th. And, you know, it's nice to get one run there in the 7th. But
yeah,
it really felt good when that 2nd and 3rd run come in, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Ryan just put the ball in play. That's all we need to do. And then he didn't make the play. So we had bases loaded. And Nick had a great hit, and we scored 2 more.
Now, I'm not sure, will you be able to come back Wednesday? Will you have enough rest time, or will we have to go with another plan on pitching?
I believe we're going to have to go with another pitcher on
Okay.
Wednesday.
Okay, so then we're counting on looking forward to you in the sectional championship game in Diedrich.
Yes, sir.
All right, congratulations.
Thank you.
Great game.
Thank you.
Who we got coming in here next? The man of the hour. Mr. Jansen, have a seat. You definitely deserve to take a break. You have had a busy day today. And first of all, congratulations on the regional championship. Feels pretty good, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And, of course, I don't know what it is about you, but catchers, nobody told you they're supposed to be slow. And yet, when you hit that ball into right center, as you rounded first, you had third base on your mind from the beginning, didn't you?
Yes, sir. The ball was right in front of me, and I took a look in the outfield, saw that gut over his head. I was thinking 3 out of the box.
And, of course, when you rounded, there was no slowing down. Outstanding job of running the bases. And, of course, the bad part about it was that we stranded you there at third base, and you got thinking, wait a minute, guys. I did all this work to get all the way over here, and you're not going to get me in? But
that's okay. We squeaked it out at the end.
You know, and that's the thing about this team. I know you guys have been together for a few years now, pretty much devoid of seniors, but your junior class is a class of leaders, and you did that again today.
Absolutely, yes, sir. Pretty young team. With no seniors coming out, very excited for next year also, and just to keep on winning this year, hopefully.
And, of course, it's one thing to be hitting the ball, and you did just that. I had you down for a triple in the first inning. You grounded out the second, a good solid hit in the third inning. Then it was a single in the 5th inning, and whoa,
yeah,
what a big single. Is that perhaps your most favorite hit of the year?
Absolutely. I came up to bat with the mentality just to put the ball in play. You know, that's what we work on every day in practice, putting the ball in play, big situations. You know, put the ball in play, good things can happen.
And, of course, the idea is just hit it. hit it hard, and hopefully hit it where they ain't.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
So you come up with a day that is 3 for 4, and I'll tell you what, that's outstanding. And to drive in the winning run, that's outstanding. But I'm one of these guys, when I sit back here, I marvel at the way that you handle the pitchers and handle your position behind the plate. You had some real good blocks today, and I thought you took good care of your pitcher.
Thank you, sir. We have lots of faith in Carter up on the mound. He's been a leader since the freshman year, and last year he pitched in the regional championship too, and we have all the confidence in the world up there.
And it didn't seem like you had to go out there much and settle him down. You guys seemed like you were on the same page all day long.
Yep. He's pitched in multiple big games. He had great composure out there. I'm super proud of him.
Well, I tell you what, it was a great day to have a great day at the plate and behind the plate. Congratulations on the regional championship.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
And that is Ryan Jansen, 3 for 4 today. Now that we've taken care of the guys who really did all the work, we'll talk to the guy who will take all the credit because he stayed out of their way.
That's right.
That is a super bunch of kids you got out there, Coach. And first of all, congratulations on the regional championship.
Yeah, it never gets old. I mean, these guys, had this on their mind all year. And, what a great team Cumberland Toledo has.
Refresh my memory. Where were we last year up north on the regional?
Pawnee.
Okay.
Pawnee
we won. Then was it a couple years ago we headed over to Calhoun and some outstanding play over there. You guys, I don't want to say you're making this a habit, but you're making it a tradition. That whether or not Nokomis wins the regional every year, they're going to be in it, and they're going to be in it tooth and nail to the very end. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, we talk about that from day one. We like to approach every game like it's the regional championship. So, it's just routine. And these kids have had a lot of success. And, they got third when they were in the eighth grade, and we got a great bunch of juniors, and we got some, we're young, but we're experienced.
Well, that's the thing that I marveled at is this is a team that's devoid of seniors, but your junior class has really taken upon themselves to be the leaders they need to be, and it seems like to me not only are they leaders, but they are so cohesive. Everybody picks everybody else up.
They hang around together off the field, They're great with the books in school, and they're just a great quality from great families, yeah. And they work hard at their craft. They all play summer baseball. They're multiple sport athletes, and you lose a good group here at Nokomis, and then you think, well, I never topped that, and then you get another one comes along, and I've been very lucky over here. I've had quality families and the parents know that we expect a lot, and they accept that, and that goes a long way.
That's part of the tradition, and I've had the opportunity now to watch you guys in football and in basketball and in baseball and in all three sports. Win, lose, or draw, these kids always carry themselves well. They represent the community well. They're an asset not only to their school but to the city of Nokomis. And the best part for us as, I'm going to say it, old coaches, is watching these kids move on in life to even greater successes, because as much as you've taught baseball lessons here during the seasons, I know you have stressed a lot of life lessons for these young men.
Yeah, I've had them on the JV level for 3 years, and then I've had them, most of these guys have been starting since they were freshmen, so I went through a lot of seasons with them, and it's not work with these guys. They make it easy for coaches. They make you look good.
Well,
and we'll take that.
And that's the thing. Somebody asked me, they said, why are you still coaching? And I said, well, I'm still coaching because I'm still enjoying it. And I said, most coaches that stay in it for any length of time, they do that. And I think you got to take it one step further. And you mentioned this earlier. In the community of Nokomis, there are certain families that have been here for years and hopefully will be here for years, but they have stressed the tradition of success, and it just seems like it goes on from older brother to younger brother, older sister to younger sister, and it just continues. And, of course, as you said, that makes coaching a joy.
Yeah. Maury Huff and Steve Kimbrough kind of laid the foundation for outworking people, out practicing people, and that's been our motto over the years, and it just in little schools you basically got the same bunch, and in baseball, So again, it's become routine that you outwork people. That's what we're all about.
This may be off the subject a little, but thank you for not having a track program. That would be in my realm, and I'd have to be fighting you guys in track. But I'm sure, regardless of what sport it is, these kids, they're going to be good in any athletic endeavor that they have. And of course, now the next question I have to ask you: have you thought about Dietrich? What's going to be the plan of attack?
No, we played Altamont, I guess, beat St. Anthony, so that was an upset. Mm-hmm. They were ranked one in our subsectional. But they're on the other side. We will probably play Louisville North Clay, who I think got rained out today. Okay. So I may get to, they play Odin.
Yeah.
And I may get to go see them Monday. I feel a lot better if I could just see a team play at least once.
Yeah. Well, and of course, the thing of it is, getting to see them play is an advantage, yes. And maybe you won't be able to see the pitcher that you're going to see,
right,
but you'll get some tendencies. But also, that's going to affect their pitching rotation because they're going to lose 2 days off of number of pitches of who they can throw at you that following game.
Yeah, they're going to have to play back-to-back days.
Yeah.
They'll play Monday, Tuesday, because I believe we play Wednesday. And so, you know, so we could have, I'm not sure if Carter can throw Wednesday or not. He may have to have one more day of rest. I'll have to look at it. I'm not too sure. But
sure would be nice if he could get that rest Wednesday and you could get to the championship game and have the big boy up there on the mound.
That's probably what we're going to do. We'll think about it. Well, Massett's 5-0 and Herb Street's 5-1 with 8 saves. So we'll probably make that decision probably Monday who we're going to throw.
I noticed, who was it, Carlinville the other day, they threw 3 pitchers in a perfect game. And I think what they were looking at was innings and pitches, making sure they had available all the arms that they could for the championship game.
Right, and you like to have that, you know. If the kid's got his A game, you know, and baseball, it happens. You know, you're not going to have your A game every night. Then you got your plan B, and you go right to that because there's no tomorrow.
Well, in softball, you can ride one pitcher. In baseball, much more of a team concept, you have to have at least 2, preferably 3. Now, the 3 guy doesn't have to be great, but he's got to get you through to the next rotation. And I think that, as you said, you've got that now. And this is one of the other beauties of baseball. A lot of times guys play a sport and they think when the game's over, we walk off, go to the locker room, that's it. Not in baseball. You manicure the field, you put down the thing.
Yep.
You guys, they know that they're responsible for all the hard work, even though there's no glory in it. You didn't have to bother ask them. They know their routine. Go right out to it, don't they?
Yeah, I know a coach in the area got in trouble for having his kids rake the diamond, and I said, when they make these kids quit working on their diamond, that's what I'm going to go play golf.
That's home. That's home. You don't mess with my home. And these guys take good care of it. And, of course, as we said, once again, congratulations on an outstanding regional championship game and an outstanding regional altogether, as you had 2 outstanding games, defeating Brownstown 4-1 the other night. And now, of course, this game today probably kept you on the edge of your seat all the way through to the 7th, didn't it?
Well, their pitcher is just incredible. He's as good as we've faced in the last 5 or 6 years. He throws 4 pitches. He throws them on any count. He's in the mid to upper 80s, and he's only a sophomore. He's got a great future ahead of him. And, boy, if you get an opportunity, and we told him that, you're not going to get many. But, boy, you got to take advantage of the few that you get, and we did.
Well, that was one in the second inning. Was that a hit and run that was on?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the pitch was just too high. He couldn't go up and get it.
Right.
And that's one of those things. It's a learning experience, but you really can't fault either guy. The only thing was you'd kind of hope the guy from first was running so fast he could have been the second before they ever realized he's there. But in any event, when that opportunity was missed, and then you had another opportunity with a hit batsman and a single but could not plate that runner in the fourth, then they had a couple of opportunities. But I thought your guys really stood up to it well. I was really impressed when they had the attempted steal at home. He calls timeout. You know he's telling that batter, hey, whatever you do, don't swing. You'll kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Jansen was just like, hey, get me the ball. I got this guy dead to rights.
Yep. Carter actually made a great play, too, because he saw him going, so he quit pitching it.
Yes.
And then Jance, who's just as good a catcher as you'll see in the area, did a great job of getting out there in front of the plate and getting him.
And, of course, you knew they were going to gamble or probably would gamble because the rate runs were so hard to come by today. But I thought when you got that stop there, momentum swung back to your side. And then, finally, maybe a little bit of a chink in the armor for Brendan Cutts as he went into that seventh inning, the the leadoff walk, and how many times, as a coach said, leadoff walk comes around to kill you. And I thought that was a good move, bringing Engelman in, because he's fleet-footed, and you knew when he turned a corner at third, they're not going to get him.
And, you know, we got the bunt down, and when we told them before the game, a bunt is going to decide this ball game.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a one-run game. And so, you know, do your job, because that's big.
And the way the wind was blowing today, there wasn't one going to go out of left.
No. And the thing about that is that's really, you know, it's like that almost every game here, so that's a little bit in our favor, you know, because we're used to it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Coach, congratulations on an outstanding regional championship. Best of luck as we plan on following you all the way down to Diederich. And let's don't have just one more. Let's have three or four, and perhaps we can end the season in Peoria.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Congratulations, Coach. And that is Coach Brian Pisco of the victorious Nokomis Redskins as they win this one today 3-0 over the Cumberland Pirates. Gabe, some final thoughts.
Just an excellent game on both sides, really, today. As we said, Carter Sobel set down the final nine to get that momentum on his side and keep that momentum on his side. But really, Cumberland came here 70 miles to be the home team here as they receded two, and they did excellent today on the day. They had a lot of heads-up plays, tried to shake things up with the bases loaded, trying to steal home there on that one play, as you were just talking with Coach Brian Pisco there. That almost kind of gave away what they were going to do in a way. That almost was a risk there, but nonetheless, very excellent game for both sides, and Nokomis comes out on top.
And, of course, this was a game that I think many people walked up here today. I heard several people saying it's probably going to be a one-run game, 2-1. Well, it went a little bit better in favor of the Nokomis Redskins, but as you said, an outstanding high school baseball game played by both teams. You hate to see a team like Cumberland lose, but they have nothing to hang their heads about. 23-4 on the season as they close out. Nokomis at 18-4, they will move on, and we're going to move on too, because coming up next, we will have the broadcast of the 2A Pena Baseball Regional Championship. Who's going to be playing in that one?
We got Carlinville versus Shelbyville. That'll be here just right, you know, here in 5 minutes. That winner of that game between Carlinville and Shelbyville will get the winner of Maroa Forsyth or Pleasant Plains. That's in the Pleasant Plains sectional. That game will be Wednesday at 6:30.
And hopefully we're going to have several teams. We know, of course, that the Lady Hilltoppers, they're moving on to sectional. And where will they be going?
They'll be going with Tri-City or Pleasant Plains from that winner. That'll be Wednesday at 4:30, and that'll be in the Riverton Regional. They will move on, and as you said, they beat Gillespie today. Last count we had before our broadcast, we were setting up. I heard Kai Hanner had 17 strikeouts on the day.
Oh.
And that game went into extra innings, and they pulled it out 2-1, I believe.
So as WSMI stands for We Serve Mid-Illinois, we have some outstanding Mid-Illinois baseball and softball teams whose seasons are continuing. But for here and for now, that's going to do it for us. From here at Nokomis High School, for Gabe Osborne, this is Gary Boker saying that we would like to take this opportunity to, of course, thank all of our supporters and all of those businesses who give us the opportunity to bring you these games. Of course, thanks to the fine folks here at Nokomis for their hospitality. Thanks to you fans for listening in. Special thanks goes back to Tom Williams at the studio for producing today's game. We invite you to stay tuned for the third game of our triple header. It'll be Carlinville versus Shelbyville from the Pena Baseball Regional. But for here from now, our final score reads Nokomis Redskins, the Nokomis 1A Boys Baseball Regional Champions, Nokomis 3, Cumberland 0. Gary Boker saying so long from the Diamond.